Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here this morning. I was trying to remember the last time I was here, and I believe the last time I spoke here was 2022. However, my family and I were here, and we brought with us someone about a year ago, a year and a half ago. We just visited, but the person that we brought with us was actually an aunt of a man that we ministered to. In prison, and his name is Joshua Bauer, and Joshua is a new convert. He was just added to the body earlier this year. It's pretty significant with him, though, because Joshua was with the group that we called Calvinism, and he, for 4 years, I had been showing this man the love of Christ, even though we didn't agree on the teaching, but nevertheless, I finally broke through to him, or the word did, I should say, and he's now our brother. So he wanted me to try to help his aunt, who's near and dear to him. I think I said she's a Catholic, but anyway, so we brought her here, we visited, and as we left, I gave her a book, and I asked her if she likes to read, and she said she did. So I said, well, I got this book called Muscle and Shovel. I just want to give it to you, and you just, you know, read it, let me know what you think. But anyways, we were real happy just to be a small part of that. We planted a seed, and that's what we're in the business of doing, is giving the message and giving opportunity to those, whoever you are, wherever you are. There's lots of confusion in the world, and to the pleasure of Satan, even amongst those who claim Christian, there is this confusion, because people who believe are not speaking the same things. They're not saying the same things. They're in different minds. They're in different judgments. We have all these different flavors of Christianity. And all these different groups have something different to say about what it means to be in Christ and the salvation that we can have in Him. And I see this very thing in prison as well. Mass confusion, a lot of false teaching, many people who are lost. Now, when I first started investigating Christianity, way back in 2016, yeah, that's not too far, I was a big fan of a particular preacher. His name was Charles Stanley. Here was an older man who appeared to be kind and wise, who taught Jesus and had more years in his ministry than I had been alive on the earth. He was a very well-spoken individual with a calm and cool demeanor, and that helped me find comfort in his teaching. Now, I did not know too much back in that day, and that's not to say that I know too much in this day. However, I remember Mr. Stanley saying on so many occasions, once your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it cannot be blotted out. Now, that is a comforting thought. But is there any truth to that? You see, some believe that salvation cannot be taken away from anyone. Some will say that once you're saved by Christ, you're always saved. And then some will even go a step farther and say that God selects certain individuals for salvation while others are predestined to condemnation. And one particular passage that's used in this is John chapter 10, verse 22 through 30. So we're going to look at this passage. Some say that this passage teaches that the Father gives the sheep to Jesus and that no one can snatch the sheep from His hand, and therefore salvation is selected for some and cannot be lost. Well, it is true when we look at this passage that in verse 28, no one can snatch the sheep from His hand. And it is true in verse 29 that Jesus says of His Father gave them to Him, that is, the sheep. But let's take a closer look at this passage to see if we can make sense of these things. So if you have your Bibles there, I'm going to be reading from John chapter 10, verse 22 through 30. And if you don't, I have it there on the screen. It says, "Now it was the feast, the dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said, 'If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." As we look at this passage, we see in verse 24, the Jews want a plain answer from Jesus: "Are you the Christ?" They are expecting someone to come and take over David's throne forever, as we see recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13, and a couple other places. But that is who the Christ was to be, the person who was going to come and take over this throne, sit on this throne forever. And of course, we know that they were thinking about a physical throne. But in response, Jesus tells them in verse 25, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." In other words, if you are paying attention to my works, you will know the answer you seek. He says there in verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep." Now, some characteristics, if you will, of being his sheep. Verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." And he says, "My sheep follow me." So let's examine a little bit these characteristics. To hear him is more than just to receive audible sound in the ear. It means to listen to. It means to take heed, to pay attention, to take note. Have you ever been in a situation where someone was talking to you, not with you, but talking to you? And I say talking to you because you were not really engaged in the conversation. You must have been preoccupied with something else, or perhaps you wasn't even interested. We've all been there at times, or one time or another. Kids not listening to their parents or their teachers, preoccupied with the game or playing or something else that's going on. Maybe your wife asked you to stop by the supermarket, the grocery store, and pick something up on your way home. Or perhaps your husband said, "I'm going to be home late this evening." All of us have been in a situation where we have physically heard what was said, but we didn't give it attention because we had something else going on, something in our immediate or physical environment, or something going on upstairs, or a combination of all of that. And that's what Jesus is saying to the Jews. You are not taking heed to me. You are not paying attention. He says, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." This is something that we all need to ask ourselves. Are we paying attention to what he says? Are we taking heed? Are we giving his word the attention that we should? You see, it's easy to get stuck in the comfort and ease of what those around us may say or teach. Perhaps at times we place our attention on what our friends or loved ones have to say about following Christ, instead of just going straight to the Word ourselves. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that our friends and loved ones are wrong, but they could be, because we're human and we make mistakes. But one thing is certain. If we want to be His sheep, we must put in the effort to know Him. Therefore, we must give attention to what He says in His Word. We must hear Him. Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." Does Jesus know you? Are you taking heed to His voice? Because if we take heed to His voice, He knows us. And this is a contrast, really, to what we see in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 through 23, which reads, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Wait a minute, it says there will be many who cry out to the Lord emphatically, "Lord, Lord, we did all this in your name." And He will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So even though they proclaimed Jesus and perhaps had a zeal for Him, they must not have heard His voice. They must not have taken heed. They must not have paid attention to His Word. Because Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." It's one thing to love your spouse and give him or her the head nod. But it's another thing to actually give them the attention that they are requesting. And that is what Jesus is saying. He knows those who take heed, who give attention to what He says. And He's going on with the thought in John chapter 10, verse 27, to say those who put what He says in their life. The second characteristic of being His sheep, Jesus says, "My sheep follow Me." Following Jesus is to abide in His Word. Jesus here does not simply mean walking behind Him physically, but it means putting what He says into action. You remember what you heard. You're paying attention. Now it's time to do something with it. And Jesus tells us plainly in John chapter 8, verse 12, He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You see, if we follow Jesus, we cannot walk in darkness. And that's not because it's impossible to turn, but it's impossible to go two directions at the same time. We have to choose one way or the other. If you do not believe me, I challenge you when you leave here to go to McDonald's and Burger King at the same time. At some point on that journey, you're going to have to make a choice which one you're going to go to. So because we cannot go both paths at the same time, that does not mean, as I said, that we cannot choose to walk in darkness. Because just like we're on the road and we decide to make the turn to go to McDonald's or Burger King, the same is true here. If we stop hearing His Word, that is, giving it the attention that we should, and we choose to stop going in His direction, following, if we do this, we leave the sheepfold and we are no longer meeting the qualifying conditions that Jesus says of His sheep. And while I'm remaining in John chapter 8, I'm skipping down to verse 31 and 32. It says, Jesus said to those who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So there it is. It's a big word, a big qualifying word, a qualifying conditional word. If. If you abide or continue in my word, then you are my disciples. And a disciple is a follower. Jesus does not choose to follow us because we have a feeling of goodness or love. He does not follow us because we are positive members in society. He does not follow us because we have good morals. He does not follow us because those who we love have brought us up a certain way. He does not follow us because we are specially selected. We choose to follow him. And only by hearing his voice and giving attention to what is said in his word and making it a part of our lives can we abide in him and therefore be a disciple indeed, a follower of him. Follow means simply to put what he says into action. It means walking in that newness of life that we see in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It means learning what he commands and putting that in our life, Matthew 28 and 20. If and only if we do this, do we then meet the conditions that he sets of his sheep and are given to him by the Father. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." You see, to be the them who he's talking about, it all depends on us meeting those qualifying conditions of hearing and following. Eternal life that cannot be lost is given to his sheep. Nobody can take it away, but we can give it back. If we stop paying attention, if we fail to follow, according to Jesus in his word, we do not meet the qualifying conditions to be his sheep. I hope this lesson has simplistically and logically made some sense. Please understand that we all have a choice and a responsibility to hear and follow. The Father has predestined that those who make the choice to hear and follow, to join the body of Christ through immersion into him, that is baptism, will receive the eternal inheritance. Here on the screen I have Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, and we'll just read that. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." He has blessed us, chose us, predestined us and made us accepted. Wait a minute. Predestined? I thought we had a choice. Oh, but we do. Let's ask, who is the us? God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world was laid. The people who decide to put on Christ or clothe themselves in Christ, these are adopted as sons and as such have an inheritance. This is the mystery of God that was predestined before the foundation of the world. The people who choose to hear and follow Christ, God has chosen to give them to Christ, to be adopted as sons by Christ. Then we are made accepted. You see, those in Christ are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, meaning we have a spot, but only in Christ, not outside of Him. So we want to choose to be in Christ, because those in Christ are the ones given to Him. Those are the ones adopted as sons. Those are the ones that have the inheritance. And I think we all want to choose that. But how? How do we get in Christ? It's the same way that I got in this shirt this morning. How did I get in this shirt? Well, I put it on. And how do I get in Christ? I put Him on. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says that you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you are ready to join the sheepfold, if there's any visitors here who are not part of that sheepfold, or if there's any people here who attend who are not part of the sheepfold, who have not put on Christ in baptism, if there's anyone here who wants to gain that inheritance, it starts now and it starts here. So I make the plea with you to let the Word of God penetrate you, to pay attention, to take heed, to be a follower of the Word, to be a follower of Christ, to join Christ in the union of baptism that we see in Romans chapter 3, verse 6, and here, putting Christ on in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. If there's anyone here who would like to answer that call, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.